Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the text today reminds us that we are a new family in Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us here that his family extends beyond that what is called Mary and Joseph, his parents, and his brothers and sisters. For I believe that he did have biological brothers and sisters. But as his mothers and brothers called for him, who were outside of the house, Jesus points to a different family that has now come about in his presence. Here are my brothers and sisters, he says, those that are around me now here in the home. You out there looking for me might be my biological family, but these people around me are my new family, the family of God. It is disturbing, for me at least, to see Jesus setting his family, his biological one, against the family of God. If you want to be with Jesus, you must leave your family behind, deny your relatives and all relations with him. In fact, in Luke 14, verse 26, he makes this provocative statement. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. It actually seems that if you want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you will have to leave your father, your mother, and your marriage. The 12 disciples demonstrated this, though being married, decided to leave the normal life behind to follow Jesus Christ as disciples. But then we also hear the opposite in Scripture. In Matthew 19, we are told not everyone should decline marriage and his family, since not everyone has been given the gift to remain single and celibate. And as Lutherans, we place great emphasis on our Christian vocation, which says that our Christian life must play itself out in the context of the family, in marriage, and in the greater society, and not apart from it. You just read Luther's Table of Duties and see how well the biological family fits together with our commitment to Jesus Christ. In fact, for some Lutheran pastors, families are so important that they procreate with great enthusiasm and increase and increase the family size to what some in modern society would find unacceptable. But Jesus Christ here does not deny creation, the biological family, his and ours, but he does make a certain qualification here. The point is that in his person, the kingdom of God has now begun, and all those around him who hear his words and who come to faith form a new family. They are now a church of God who hear the shepherd's voice. This family is Jesus' prized possession, which he has won over with his blood. And one day, you here gathered here in front of us will become its overseer and shepherd. It is a unique family, one in Christ, God's household, where there is no wall of division and hostility. All, no matter whether they are of different color or of race, belong to it. Unlike biological parents and relations, this membership in the family lasts forever and continues even after our death. So, in view of this new spiritual reality, surely our biological relations dwarf in comparison. At least they should. And everyone is invited to join it, even those who belong to Christ's biological family. On the cross, you know, he entrusted his mother to his most beloved disciple, John. Mary does not stand outside the church, and nor did his brothers, the author Judas of the letter Jude, and also his brother James, who was called one of the pillars in Jerusalem. In other words, there is no indication that Jesus Christ wants to exclude his relatives and his family. In fact, some of them, as we have just seen, were very important Christians who played a role in the family of God. But, as our text says, if they search for him, shaking their head in disbelief over what they preach, what he preaches and teaches, then the separation would be inevitable. How now do we become members of this family of God? Jesus Christ says these marked words, "Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." There's indeed an ethical aspect to belonging to the family of God. But does that mean that we must comply first to God's will before we can enter the family of God? If this were the case, then we Lutherans would be wrong, and our membership would depend on works after all. The comforting news here is that Jesus does not frequent with people who are strong, full of resolve, who rely on their own efforts and feats to come into the family of God. The church is a spiritual hospital, Luther once said, a home for the sick and for the weak. Christ takes on precisely those people who are not able to make it on their own. The healthy do not need a doctor, but the sick. For this reason, Jesus does not say that we should first fulfill God's will and then proceed looking for him. Blessed are those who come to him with a hunger and with a thirst. What matters is that we first establish this contact with Jesus Christ, and out of it revolves a renewal. Once his word is preached to us, taught and administered and distributed, he frees us up from our guilt and makes it possible for us not to sin, yes, and also gives us a new obedience that is demonstrated through love to our neighbor. The example of the tax collector Zacchaeus is perhaps for me the most compelling example of this change once one enters the family of God. Zacchaeus shows how the gratitude for the forgiveness of sins has changed his heart and how he has demonstrated this now to his neighbors. He was willing to give up half of his possessions to the poor after he met Jesus Christ. What he did, and what we as good Christians continue to do in the family of God, to one another and to others, is only possible because Jesus Christ works in us through the Holy Spirit. And as long as we live from a faith in him and pray the third petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," then we not only affirm our membership in this family, but that also God's will continually be done through us as well. In Christ's name, amen.